Welcome to Just Another Hunting Podcast. This is Steve with Mountain to Coast Outdoors in collaboration with Joseph from Way Out West Adventures. We dive deep into the world of hunting, exploring tactics, gear, and unforgettable stories from the field. Join us each week as we interview seasoned experts and passionate enthusiasts who share insights and experiences to help you enhance your hunting skills. Whether you're a novice seeking guidance or a veteran hunter looking for new challenges, this is your go-to resource for all things hunting. Tune in each week to step up your game and to connect with the community who shares your love for the great outdoors. All right, guys, episode one for us, I guess. First go at this podcast thing. Joseph and I are on the mountain spring bear hunting, day three. Second day of days we can actually hunt. So far, it's been pretty good. We saw a bear last night around 5, and Joseph picked up a bear around 10:30 this morning. A little too small, though, so we decided to pass. We're just going to sit here for another, couple days, if that's what it takes, to fill a tag, and then we're planning on heading up this ridge behind us to look into some new country we haven't seen before. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen 5 bears in this these little three drainages in the last 2 years. It was where we were last year at the end of our season. So it's got a mixture of, it's east facing slope. It's got a mixture of pine, burnt pine, and a bunch of these, whatever those are. But the grass is green, and if you, that's where you're finding them, is in the, definitely in where the grassy, lush patches. Once they find one of those, they hold up. That one right here held up there for probably 2 hours. We could have easily have killed it, but I don't want to shoot a German Shepherd.
Yeah. So we brought the rafts on this trip too. But one thing we've, you know, learned, I guess, the hard way, like all these trips, is last year we were a week later and the snow was a lot lower and the river was gin clear until the last day or two of the trip. So we were like, shoot, let's get some rafts for the next year's trip. And we can raft all the way down to this spot, which is several miles from where we started from. But the river, due to all this snow melt and this hill being completely, you know, balled of snow, basically, the river's just raging. So we only made it like, 2 miles maybe downriver in the rafts before we were like, you know what, it's not worth it. It's way too dangerous. I dropped into some nasty rapids, took on quite a bit of water. I think Joseph probably did the same in a few spots.
So I was almost going to head right for the, I was panicking.
The river was flowing so fast.
That could have been bad.
Yeah. And there's so many corners that you just don't know what's around the other end of that corner. And, we came around that one left corner, and luckily there was enough, slow water on the left that we were able to get out like literally just in time. Cause there was a stretch of rapids that were wicked for a couple hundred yards at least.
I don't think I would have made it through. I think I would have fell out.
Yeah. I think I would have probably fallen out with you. So yeah, it's crazy. Cause I've spent quite a few years now rowing a drift boat and feel pretty comfortable on the water. But in those little single man rafts, when you drop into those rapids, that they just, they're so flexible that you're just riding it out. You're not cutting through it. So
like you literally can't see. There was a couple where like you were, felt like you were on Deadliest Catch. Like you were in the bottom of a swell. You're like, well, hope this goes over well. Next thing you know, you pop out and you're in another one.
Yeah.
That one was like 200 yards of just solid
rollers. Nasty, dude. Big boulders.
I don't know if I would have made it.
So we left my raft down low and a few other pieces of gear down low. And we brought Joseph's raft with us because this country, you can't really see it that well, but it's huge. And there's a lot of drainages that are ripping. So we figured we'd bring one just in case we saw a bear across one of these smaller drainages, we could get across and then, you know, kill it and get back. But yeah, we got the teepee with us and the stove. And we have, 7 days of food left. We got 2 bear tags and 2 wolf tags. This drainage treated us well last year. We filled a tag in here and saw several bears. So we figured we would come back and it's been good to us so far again. So
it has, just not the size.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the bear we saw yesterday, I would definitely shoot it. I think Joseph probably would too.
Yeah, it was good.
Interesting though, that was like a chocolate colored bear, but his whole face
was white.
Like it had those mites.
Yeah.
But
a guy in Oregon told me that they get those mites in the dens during their denning hibernation period. And they must just eat them alive or something, or they just keep rubbing themselves. I don't quite know, but it was very, very white and gray.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
This one didn't have it.
No, that one had a beautiful coat, but just small. And I'm definitely personally still learning how to judge bears. They always, maybe I just get too excited. They look good to me, but.
I think the thing is you just got to calm down.
Yeah.
Like we sat and watched it for 2 hours dang near. So, and he's still up there somewhere. We think he's in this group of trees and because he hasn't left it. So he's probably bedded up there.
Yeah. I say one thing I've learned about hunting spring bear too so far over the last couple of years is just being patient. If you get in a country that has green grass and it looks like it should hold, in my opinion, mule deer, there's probably bears around, and that seems to be the case. We're finding bears in spots that I would definitely personally be looking for mule deer in the fall.
Well, we saw mule deer.
Yeah, I mean, there are some up behind us here at this highest ridge. There's a couple mule deer up there. But the bears definitely seem to like this steep, nasty, rocky country for sure. So that's pretty much what we look for when we're e-scouting is stuff like that. And another thing that I've learned kind of is I was always kind of targeting the south slopes. In theory, the grass should be growing the best on those slopes, but we've consistently seen quite a few bears on this east-facing stuff. So that's also definitely been helpful.
Yeah. We saw one last year on the southern exposures, but all of them were on more of the northern and eastern-facing slopes last year. And the weather was the winter was stayed around a lot longer. So then when they come out, and we have problems last year because they'd come out and they would just disappear. And we think that they were just going out of their den and then back in their den. Because it's not like they could keep going up because it was loaded with snow. So you would see them and then they'd be gone.
Yeah, last year we saw, I think, 6 bears. And the only bear that gave us a shot was the one that we shot.
Yeah.
All the other ones were out. And then
gone
on the move, feeding away from us or side hilling. They're just constantly on the move.
Looking like they're looking for grass because it wasn't really out yet.
Yeah. And the two we've seen so far that, in these 2 days have been on the slope that they pop out on for, that one was probably a good hour and a half to 2 hours last night.
Yeah.
And this one was out for a solid 2 hours before it bedded down. So we think we timed it a little better this year based on the snow melt. So that'll hopefully pay off this trip for us. But time will tell. I'm excited to get up over this ridge and look into some new country, but we also need to be patient, and we know there's a couple bears here, and see if we can't fill one tag.
I think that was our Achilles heel last year. I think if we just stuck it out and waited when we saw a bear, instead of moving constantly and being impatient, I think we would have got more bears. If we just know he's here, we want to shoot him. Just take your time and wait.
Well, one thing I think that kind of screwed us up last year a little bit too was on the other side of this ridge, Joseph glassed up a nice jet black. But then the following morning, our intentions were to try to kill that jet black.
Yeah.
And I ended up seeing a bear across the main drainage, what we were calling the salad bowl, that looked really good as well, that bear. So we were thinking Cody and Steve could stay behind and shoot that jet black, right?
Cody went with us.
Or Steve, yeah. Steve was going to stay behind and shoot that jet black. And we were going to raft across and try to shoot that bear in the salad bowl. And we ended up not killing either one of them. And then we got impatient and we never went back and really checked on that salad bowl bear. We went back for a couple hours.
Yeah. But
we ended up leaving him, kind of giving up on him and coming way into here, which did pay off, but we only filled one tag. And I agree, we probably could have filled at least two tags if we just would have been a little bit more patient. We knew the bears were there. They weren't going anywhere. But this year, that's the plan. We're going to be patient. And
if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. We know there's, I mean, we know there's a black bear in here too. We haven't seen him yet. I'm pretty sure he's still in here. But so, I mean, technically there should be three bears that we've seen.
Yeah. Three different bears for sure. And there's probably more. There's probably more.
Yeah.
I mean, that night we saw the three in here last year. We saw that jet black early in the morning around 10. And then we moved up to this knob to get in range to shoot. And Joseph picked up another bear, a separate bear, and one drainage over, but he fed up so fast. He got to like 800 yards. We had no shot, and we were literally packing up our stuff. It was like six ish.
Yeah.
And another bear popped out of the bottom, like right below us at 450 ish yards. So for some reason, this drainage definitely holds them.
It does.
Yeah. They like it. And there were elk in here last year. There were mule deer up there. There were mule deer here and another pocket of them behind us. And
yeah, this area was loaded with mule deer last year. I don't know where they are, but it was loaded completely. Three different pockets of mule deer. No wolves yet.
Yeah, no wolves yet.
Haven't heard any.
Last year we heard them, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Multiple occasions.
And we saw some really big tracks too, but we haven't heard them yet. I'm sure we will eventually if we're here long enough.
Especially the more we go that way.
Yeah.
I mean, we're pretty deep. As deep as I've gone if I shoot something.
Yeah. I mean,
we're the same as last year, but if we go up over that base, over that ridge, it's...
We think we have a good plan though. We have some contractor garbage bags if we get one back here. It's getting cool in the morning and the evenings. It gets pretty warm during the daytime, but our plan is to, if we knock one down in the next day or so, get it boned out, get it down in the creek, submerge it in those contractor bags, keep it in the water, and it should last quite a while. So I think that's going to be our plan if we knock one down and we still have 5 or 6 days left.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully it all goes well, but I'm still new at this whole backcountry thing and learning it. It's definitely different. You just can't drive over there and shoot that bear.
Yeah.
The amount of effort it takes to get over there to shoot that bear, it's a lot.
Well, it's at least a couple hours.
Yeah, and the calories you're burning and the water you're drinking. And then you got to go fetch your water. I mean, the cool thing is there's water down in the bottom, so you can always get your water there, but
it's still a lot of work.
Yeah. It's hard, but man, it does pay off to just be out here and you can just sit. There ain't no one around.
Yeah. Something about waking up in the teepee with a fire going, and I love drinking coffee. So having coffee up here is nice in the morning. It's crisp. Beautiful, but it is a lot of work. I think we both packed up around 8 liters of water in here, 7 or 8 days of food, the raft, the rifle, all this camera equipment, spotting scopes. I mean, we're sharing some stuff to try to minimize weight, but I'm pretty sure my pack was at least 70 pounds coming up this ridge, and Joseph's was all of that as well. So it is a ton of work, but it is nice to be up here and literally walk 100 yards, 200 yards from our shelter, and we're glassing this huge basin. So
yeah, once it's the work getting up here, once you're up here, you could chill out. We got water like right here, so we know that next time if we were to come in here, we know there's water right here. We don't have to pack so much water up,
which will be helpful.
Yeah, and that's just things you learn hunting the same area. When you go in the new area, new terrain, you just don't know that, so you have to pack the water. Yeah, you got to suffer until you know.
Yeah, finding water up here is a game changer. I mean, I don't know what 8 liters of water weighs, but it's got to be, I'd say, 10 to 15 pounds, somewhere in that ballpark. So
it's the heaviest out of all your gear.
Yeah, by far. And it also takes up a lot of space in your pack. So you know, finding water up here, like last year would have been easy to stay up here because there was snow.
Yeah.
We could have filled our black contractor bags with snow, let it sit out in the sunlight through the middle of the day and had plenty of water. But now that we know that this, there must be a spring in this basin because that creek is running.
It's raging.
You can hear it from here.
And there's no snow.
And there's no snow in here. Exactly. Yeah. So next year we won't have to pack nearly as much water in here if we decide to come back to this spot, which will be nice.
Yeah. But I definitely think sharing a gun, and I think if you're going to do rafts and you're not going to float a river, I think two rafts per dude, per one raft per two guys is what you want to shoot for. I think if you came in with four guys and one raft, you'd be bumming.
It would take quite a while to cross.
Yeah.
And I would say if you're going to bring one raft, bring more paracord than you think you need to get that raft. You might be able to get two guys in the raft to get across. I think it is doable, but you'd probably be getting pretty wet. But if you had, you know, what, 200 feet of paracord at a minimum.
Well, yeah. And you got to think, if you're crossing, you're always going to cross. You're going to end up way downstream.
Yeah.
So if you do cross in one shot with two guys, but maybe you leave a backpack behind or something, or your backpacks or whatever, now when you cross again, you're going to be even further down.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Having a couple hundred feet of paracord would be the way to go if you were going to shuttle stuff, because the river just gets, as the snow melts, obviously the river just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it gets really wide. I mean, I don't think 100 feet of paracord would do you any good.
No, you wouldn't, think you need you more.
Have, yeah, near enough.
If you're hunting next to a big river.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would need more than 100 feet.
And I would say, too, one thing that we've noticed is you got to get off of any main trail system, I'd say at least a mile buffer. It seems to be like the spot where once we've gotten that far off of any sort of established area that you start to see more animals, which is, I guess you'd think, a no-brainer, but it's showing itself here for sure, because we haven't seen any bears really that way at all.
Besides across the river.
Yeah, besides across, which there's no established trail over there, so.
Nope.
That makes sense. You'd have to cross, swim or raft across to get over there, so that's probably why they're a little easier to see.
Yep, and even the guides don't use them, so.
Yeah.
You got a one up there.
Definitely. Yeah. But anyway, we've thought about kind of starting a podcast for quite a while now. We figured this would be a good place to start, kind of a intro to what we have planned. We've got a lot of hunts coming up. Obviously, we got spring bear going right now. We've both got spring bear tags, and Joseph's son has a spring bear tag in Oregon. We've got applications in for Montana for deer and elk. We got Washington elk, deer, fall bear. Got a lot of stuff coming up. So I think when we hunt together on all of our trips, we're probably going to do some more podcasts like this on the mountain, just to kind of give you guys an idea of what we're up to anyway.
Yeah. It's fun. Hopefully keep my body in shape enough to do it as long as I can.
Yeah.
It's hard though.
Yeah. Both of us train pretty consistently, I'd say. And, man, there is nothing like putting on a 70 or 80 pound backpack and hiking these hills, all the running and box step ups and all that stuff. It definitely helps, I'm sure, with mobility and maybe preventing some injuries, but man, nothing feels like that backpack hiking up these mountains. That's for dang sure.
No, it's tough.
Yeah.
It is tough.
And we're packing pretty, for what we have, we're packing pretty ultralight stuff. I mean, we got Dyneema shelter, Dyneema tarp, the rifle's like 8.5 pounds. And the raft's only, 6 pounds. I mean, most of our gear, our sleeping bags and our pads is all that stuff's ultralight. Food-wise, we're running about 2 pounds a day per bag, about 3,000 to 3,500 calories. And I think I can't imagine going much leaner on food because.
Yeah, we're skimping.
We're kind of skimping. We're not even really hiking that much at the moment.
I was hungry yesterday.
So we probably might have cut that a little too thin on the calorie intake for what we're doing. But a lot of planning, a lot of preparation definitely goes a long ways when you're planning to do something like this.
Yep.
One more thing I would say to you about this kind of country is, you know, when we first got in here, we all had the kind of mindset to shoot, keep our shots as close as possible. Obviously, you don't want to wound an animal, but I would say, in my opinion, that you should have a rifle that has the energy and the capability of shooting around 500 yards, if not slightly further, if you're comfortable with that, because this country is freaking huge.
500 isn't even...
That's just like the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Look at all these elk right here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, we just had 3 elk come up over this ridge by right next to us.
The one in the back's honed in on us pretty good. Yeah, we smelt them.
Yeah, we knew they were in here.
We knew where they were in here because we could smell them.
They've been below us for 2 days and we haven't seen them. That goes to show you, back to that whole patience thing.
That's what I was telling him. The thing about this type of area, country, I was up in Washington with my son and literally a huge black bear, it was before the season started, just popped up in front of me. And that could easily happen here. You just never know.
Yeah, for sure. So many side finger drainages and ridges, so many folds they can be bedded in.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. What are they, probably 100 and...
If that, yeah, 150. Yeah, the one in the back, she's
on to us.
She's on to us.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's a wrap on episode 1. We apologize for the strange ending. We were sitting on the mountain glassing for bears, and a group of 4 elk came up over the saddle and distracted the crap out of us while we were recording. So anyway, that's what happened there. But more importantly, we do have a giveaway going with this Spring Bear mini series that we just dropped on our YouTube channels. Part 1 and Part 2 are now live. It's free to enter. All you have to do is be subscribed to the Mountain to Coast Outdoors YouTube channel and be subscribed to the Way Out West Adventures YouTube channel, and then leave a comment on either video. That's going to give you 1 entry. The giveaway package includes multiple items from Go Hunt, like an insider membership, titanium mug, glassing pad, and a few other items. Dark Energy tossed in a power bank. Seek Outside tossed in a $100 gift card to their website, and then Mountain Tough Fitness tossed in a 1-year membership that'll give you access to everything they offer. Mountain to Coast Outdoors is also tossing in kind of a swag pack. So the winner that's selected will be able to go to the website and pick a hat, t-shirt, and sweatshirt of their choice, and we'll make sure we get that stuff made and included in the giveaway package. We can't thank you guys enough for tuning in to our YouTube channels and now our podcast. We hope you enjoyed episode 1. And we'll catch you next week on episode 2.